First Light Church. Today's sermon is intercession.
This morning, we come as a people of God. I think God is bringing a whole new season, not just a whole new season, a whole new experience of His grace. Yesterday, the leaders came together, the core leaders came, and I think we discerned something fresh is going to happen. It's not, for First Light, it's not just an end of a season, it's the end of an era. Why is the end of the era? Because for the past 10, 11 years, it's a building of the foundation. That God is calling us to step out of the boat and start walking on waters. Amen? You agree to that? No, if you ever build a house, you know that foundation is laying a foundation is a very tedious process. You are pouring a lot of concrete, In fact, I think one of the most expensive things you can do for a house is your foundation. Nothing sexy. After that, you lay your foundation, you build a house over it. No one gets to see the foundation. But everyone gets to see the house. And everyone marvels at the house. But whether a house stands or falls is always depending on the foundation. So sometimes if you go to someone's places or you go to some building, you see a major crack on the wall, you won't say, oh, something wrong with the wall. First thing you will say, something wrong with the foundation. And I believe for the past number of years as a church, God has laid a strong foundation in First Light. Amen? And there is a maturing in this house. There's a maturing in this house that God is saying that you guys are ready for a new adventure. Say to your neighbor, new adventure. Right. Some of you, new adventures is mean having babies again. Now, the thing is this, but seriously, but new adventures means that God is saying to us, because He had laid this firm foundation for us as a house, it's time for us to make a difference, to step out of the water, to go onto the other side and see soul get saved in Jesus' name. I'm excited. I'm going to see lots of souls getting saved this year through this house, through the people of God who it's not a burden, but it's a joy. It's about sharing the gospel. The gospel has transformed you. The gospel that has changed you. You're not doing something different because every day you're shining for Jesus Christ. You're witnessing as his person of grace into a places where there's still darkness. Amen. It's a privilege. And this morning, I just want to share a couple of things just to get us to this whole new era that God is setting before us. Dennis, please. As you know that we are a community of Jesus Christ, we bring healing to lives, make disciples, and multiply across nations. And this year, as I was sharing with some of you, those of you who have been with me for the past few weeks, you know I've been talking about the importance of a community. Importance of community. We can't be by ourselves. And one of the words that God gave me was, if you go back to the Old Testament, remember Elijah the prophet, he prophesied there will be no rain and there was famine in the land and he was by the brook. Remember that story? And how the brook dried up and he was hungry and the Lord told him to go to this widow's place. And remember when he went to the widow's place, I like Elijah, he has this bonus, give me food. And this widow said, oh, I need enough for me and my son. After our last happy meal, we are ready to die. And what happened was this. Elijah said, give me all you got. And the word says that when Elijah and this woman and the son came together, there was more than enough food to tie them through the famine. Amen. The prophet is very gifted. He has all the gifts in the world, but he was going hungry. He could not multiply food. Here was the widow and the son. All they have left was just one last meal. Both were hungry. Both parties were hungry. But when they came together, both of them were fed. Hallelujah. That is a picture of community. We can be the most gifted person in this house. We may be the most wise person. But you and I will realize, no matter how sufficient we are, there is always a gap or emptiness in our life. Amen? And we know Jesus filled all those gaps. But sometimes we feel there are still gaps in our life. Isn't it true? And sometimes we can be also like that widow and that son. We think that all we have left is just one last meal. That's all I have left. There's nothing more. I have no gifts. I have no talent. But when you know that when we come together as a community, we are all well fed. And this is what it should be. Isn't it? Amen? We should be that community coming together that whatever gaps I have, whatever feeling or emptiness I may carry in me, although I know Jesus and feel all this, but when we come into conversation, when we sit down together on the table, when we talk about the goodness of God, something happens. Both of us will leave that place being filled up. Filled up, not fed up, filled up. Isn't it this what we should be as a community, people? And that is my heart and my vision for First Light Church for this coming year. And basically, what I want to share this morning is this. This is what was impressing upon me the past few days was, how many of you have received a prophetic word that has radically impacted you, but you are still waiting for the fruit to come? So I start with a question. How many of us here have received a word from God, maybe 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and has radically impacted you, but still waiting for its fulfillment? You're still waiting to see the fruit. How many of you? Come, don't be shy. It's safe here. Huh? Put your hand. Look around. Okay, so it's good. You're not by yourself. Amen? You know, if you're by yourself, you should be embarrassed, but you're not. There are others who are having this same situation, that we receive a prophetic word, but somehow it's not yet happening. And we wonder why. So this sermon is for you guys, right? And I want to encourage you first with from the Psalms 105, verse 17 to 19. God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Under the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. I told you all guys about the story of Joseph, remember, a couple of weeks ago, and how Joseph was sent by God long before there was a famine in Egypt. You must believe you are a sent one. Amen? You must believe God sent you to a certain place at a certain time. Even before you are going to fulfill what God is calling you to fulfill, you have already been sent. But there will be a time in which you feel there are some places you don't want to be there. You ever gone to a place, workplace, you hate it? But you know you are sent there. But somehow as you obey the Lord in that workplace, in that situation, God opened opportunity for you to minister to someone. And somehow once the assignment is over, the Lord redirected you, isn't it? Amen? And this is what happened to Joseph. He didn't want to go to Egypt. He had great dreams. But God brought him into Egypt for such a time as this, in which he was then became the savior of the whole empire, but he also saved his own household. Remember the story? God gave him a word, but it took 13 years before he realized, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word tested here in Hebrew means refining, refinement, mastering him. It's great to have a gift, but you need a greater gift to handle that gift that you have. And that greater gift is what we call character. Every revelation, if you go from Old Testament to New Testament, every time where God appears to someone or he sent an angel to someone, you realize God did not first begin with the assignment, but God has to deal with the identity. Without a doubt, every person whom God ever called, he has to first work on the identity. God knew that call. God now knows the identity, but when an individual doesn't know that his or her identity, it's hard to fulfill the call. And the word of God must test us in the sense of refining us between us knowing who we are to what is going to happen down the road. It is a refining process called character building. Amen. Some of us, God is still working on character. You know? I thought by this time, I'm 53 years old, I'm very perfect. But I realized I'm not. You know, I was just saying Joanne the other day, you know, I think I'm perfect. He said, no, you're not. You know, sometimes after the Holy Spirit, you need your wife to give you revelation. But I think it's important for us that there is a refining process God is putting us through. So if you are discouraged because the word has not come to pass, you're not seeing the fruit of that prophetic word utter over you, know that God is building your character so to carry your call. Some people make a big deal about their call, but they've forgotten the character is a critical thing. And character is what we call foundation. People can see your call because it's very public, isn't it? If I'm a worship leader, people can see. If I'm a pastor, people can see. If I'm a leader, people can see our role, our position in the station of life. But no one can see our character, isn't it? But our character will come out when we try to fulfill that role. So when we are asking for God to give us gifts, which is good. Ask God for new gifts. Ask God for new anointing. There's nothing wrong with that. But always ask God, God, give me a character that fit my call. That whatever I built will stand. Like the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said, isn't it? Jesus said to us, who hear his word and does his word is like the man who built his house on the rock. Because the storm, the wind, the waves will come. You ask anyone who built a house, they can never build a house during stormy season, isn't it? You can't put out your roof, you can't paint your wall because it's just raining or there's wind blowing. You can't do anything. What is Jesus telling us is, in a very blunt way, shitty things will happen in your life. Things you have no control. Seasons will come and just turn things around that you can be broken by those things that happens to you. But before those seasons comes, there are certain things you can do. You can storm-proof your faith. By sinking deep that foundation of the word, by sinking deep into the very thing of what God is revealing to you. And so when you go through those situations of storms, winds, and waves, hallelujah, you will still come out strong. You will not be drawn away by the destructive forces of life. So this year I say that God is calling us to rest. But one of the things I'm coming back again and again is you need to ask God to increase your capacity to receive. 2019 is going to be a great year for some of us and it's going to be a very difficult year for some of us. Literally, I need to tell you this. Some of you are going to end this year with powerful testimony. Some of you are going to be saying, what happened? What happened? It all comes down into your capacity to receive. Absalom and Solomon had the same father, but the ends were different. Judas was as caught as was John by Jesus, but the end was also different. We need to ask God to give us that wisdom, the revelation to receive from Him, to receive from Him. So how can we increase our capacity to receive? I give you all a few assignments at the beginning of the year. I want to assign you all again, just in case. This year, don't worry, I'm going to give you a lot of assignments. Hopefully, you'll do one. If you can do one, you'll be blessed with the socks. I say, this is assignment, I say, first, find a life verse. How many of you found your life verse already? Okay, very good. Then I say, find a year verse for this year. How many of you has begun the third one, a book study? Very good. This is how you are laying that foundation for yourself because you are building up your capacity to receive. A life verse is something God, you're asking God for a revelation, what is my whole life about? And my life verse since I was 14 years old was from Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. This year, I'm still asking God for a year verse. Last year, I already shared with you my year verse taken from Jeremiah, but I'm still asking God. But I know the book I need to study this year is the book of Job. Because for the past few months, I've been visiting different churches. I come across a lot of articles. It's all about Job. I'm glad, you know, to study about Job. Not because I love suffering. But you know what I love about Job? Because things did not turn out the way he wanted. But I like the final chapters. Job became a priest for all his friends. He interceded for his friends. And this is the position God is asking me or leading me to how can I intercede for my friends, intercede for you guys better. Right? Another way to, and this is what my sermon this morning is about, the word called intercession. Intercession. If you grow up in church, we all say, oh, we're going to intercede for someone. You know, we use this phrase, isn't it? Yeah? Intercede for someone. Sometimes it's a bit bombastic. What do you mean by interceding? Interceding, often we say that we are praying on someone's behalf. We are pleading on someone's behalf. Someone may be not well, someone is going through an examination, someone going through some sort of situation, say, and they'll call us, they'll text us, please pray for me. So as I am praying to God, I'm interceding. Right? This is our common understanding about intercession. Intercession is pleading on someone's case. But sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes people think intercession is trying to change God's mind. But sometimes we think when we pray, we're trying to change God's mind. Somehow God has already decided, but if we pray long enough, like a little kid, please, 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 after 99, please, okay, we give in, right? And parents, we know that. Our children do that. We ask sometimes. We say no. Then say please, no, please, no, please, no. Then please. Then you say no, please. Then say, okay, finally give in. It's like a game. But God, thank God, he doesn't play that kind of game. That game is childish between father and their daughter. Don't laugh. Some of you are guilty as well, okay? But intercession here, if you really understand the background, is saying back to God what he has already said to you through his scriptures and spirit. You are telling God what he has spoken to you through his word and through his spirit. That's intercession. That's intercession 101. I'm giving you a foundation of intercession. So often we say you are pleading for someone or speaking for someone. But how can we pray for someone if we do not know what God has said about that someone? You get what I'm saying? How can we stand in the place of someone if we do not know what is God's heart for that person? That's why in this church, we had a bonus to say that in our vision that we want to be a healing community, because we know our healing has been bought for us through the atonement, isn't it? That's why we had a bonus. So even though we see difficult cases, we see people who are suffering from terminal situations, we may not have the confidence to pray, but if we know the new covenant promise of God's word, we can pull it out from heaven and then we can declare that the weak can say they are strong, the poor can say they are rich, those who are unhealthy can be healthy in Jesus' name. Amen? Where does our bonus come from? Our bonus comes from not because we had the amount of faith. Our bonus comes from because we have the verdict declared on our side. And Jesus said, it is finished. That's why Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now you go in my name. That means Jesus has given us the same authority that he has, that we can declare people who are unwell to be well. We can declare circumstances that is straining or not going the best way possible, but we can declare the goodness of God. I came across a pastor who was sharing that he and his wife goes on date nights. And one night, they decided to go to a very popular hill near their town for lovers. That was their date night. So they say, oh, it's a weekday, so there's no young people there. So both of us can go to this lover's hill to see the city. Yeah. So they drove there, and they were the only car on top of that hill. No one else was there. And they were whispering sweet nothing to one another. A car drove and parked next to them. And this pastor was just irritated. There are so many car parks you can park. You had to park next to my car and on my date night with my wife. But they walked with the Lord for so long, they know that no situation in life is a missed opportunity where God will demonstrate his grace. Then they were looking, they saw a young lady in that car by herself. So they just went to the young lady and decided to minister to her. So they knock at the window and say, oh, you know, it's a lovely evening. We are on a date night and we saw your car pull out next to us. And how are you? And the man got a word. He said, the Lord told me 3 months ago you had a car accident and you injured your back. And she said, yes, yes, yes. And he has been giving me problems since then. He said, can my wife and I pray for you? And they prayed for her and immediately her back was healed. Then the wife suddenly say, when I prayed for you, I saw Africa. And the Lord says that you have a heart for Africa since you are young. And then the man came in and said, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to be a missionary. And by this time, the girl started to cry. He said, yes, I'm young. The Lord wanted me to become a missionary. Yes, I want to be good to go to Africa. But circumstances did not allow me. Then the man said, then why are you here tonight? He said, tonight I was coming here to kill myself. And I told the Lord, if you are real, you better show yourself up. And I can tell you guys, God is real. And this pastor was sharing, he said that, what if my wife and I just got irritated and we drove off? Sometimes our point of irritation is also a point of breakthrough, you get what I'm saying? And you know, they prayed for her and she's just so thankful. And then the husband and wife were so moved by what God had emptied their pockets. They say, look, we know you're going to go to Africa. This is all the money that we have, but take it as our first investment to what God is calling you. Don't you want to have such encounters like this? Hey? Now, start going out to King's Park and see what happened. But seriously, people, this is intercession. Intercession is, that's why I tell you all, have a live verse, have a year verse, read a book of the Bible. Right? God bless you if God assigned you to Jude, only one chapter. God bless you, you're going to have the whole of Psalm 150. You know? God bless you. But whether it's one chapter or 150 chapter, you still be blessed. I know about another pastor in communist country. When they start burning Bible, you know, the people came and took all the Bibles from the church and took from his home. And he was pulling his Bible away from one of the soldiers, and all he tore away was one page. And he quickly kept that one page in his pocket. And for the next 30 years, he only preached from that one page. But every time he looked at that same page, he received different revelation. I know another man of God, E. Stanley Jones. 40 years in India, he only preached from John 3:16. 500 different sermons. I got one of his book, he got 100 of his sermon, all from John 3:16, and it's all a different sermon. If you will sit and receive and ask God to increase your capacity to receive, marvelous things will come up from you. If the pastor can feed his church in a communist country for 30 years just for one page of scripture, how much more we had a whole 66 books? How much more we will be blessed if we take hold of his word? Now, true intercession always begins with a revelation from God. So you cannot just pray. You just pray anyhow. It's called desperation. But we don't want you to pray out of desperation. We want you to pray out of revelation. Amen? But true intercession always begins with a revelation from God. And you can see this in Psalm 27. Go back and meditate on Psalm 27. It's a fantastic psalm. But he says here, the psalmist says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you say, seek my face, my heart say to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." So here is the psalmist saying, "Hear, O Lord." He knows in confidence God will hear him. Because he had a revelation that God says to him, "Seek my face." And my heart said, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." This is a picture of intercession. It begins with a revelation from God. Now you're telling back to God. Now, why does God want to do that? Isn't it obvious when God gives us his word, shouldn't he do something about it? See, God wants to make sure you understand the instruction. Have you ever tried to tell your child to do something for you and it got everything wrong? Wow, you are so blessed, huh? Maybe you are the child, you don't know. Huh? They got it wrong, yes. Sometimes, wives, you may know. Have you ever tell your husband something and they got it all wrong? Yeah? All the wives say what? Amen. It's true. Then the husband will say, "Did you say that? When?" I'm saying, a personal example. I know all these husbands in this house are all very smart, not like me. You know? Joyce, how many times did I tell you? Did you? I can't remember the first time you told me. When you intercession with the Father, is you're repeating to what God is saying to you. Why? Because you want to make sure you got it right when God gave it to you. So you will not pray amiss. Isn't it very wonderful? God is also training us. So when we can repeat what God is saying to us, you know what happens? Faith will just come in. Boldness will just rise up. Because God said, "Yep, you got it right. You got my instruction right. And this is where it's going to happen." Because when we intercede, we are partnering with God to what he's going to accomplish. Amen. So prayer becomes very restful. It's not stressful. But you enjoy praying to God the whole day because something great is going to happen. And the more you understand what he has said to you, the more you can repeat back to him. And this is how I spend a lot of my prayer life is this. I'm telling God, God, you say this. Lord, you say that. So I'm going to take your word for it. But once in a while, I need to go back to the word to exegete that I got it right. Because I don't want to be presumptuous, you get me? I don't want to quote the scripture any old how the way I think that's what the scripture meant. But when I get my exegesis correct, I get my word correct, I get my interpretation correct, I can tell the Lord. It's almost I can make my demands to God. Because it's not God will fail me, but I know God's character. Our children can make demands from us because they know our character. They can believe we're going to fulfill what we promised them. So much more our Father, who is perfect in heaven, isn't it? That's what Jesus said. How much more your Father who is perfect? He will not give you stone if you ask for bread. Hallelujah. He will not give you snake if you ask for fish. Because our Father knows what you need. But when you begin to answer to the Father what he has said to you, I'm telling you, it raises your sense of expectation something good is going to happen. And you can see this in the New Testament also. When Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she's going to conceive and bear forth God's son. Remember that? And Mary said, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. And then Gabriel replied to her in verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Everyone say together. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Come on, people, have some enthusiasm. Maybe next time we must put some multivites in our Holy Communion. Come on, together. For with God, nothing will be impossible. If you go through Old Testament and New Testament, you see something very interesting. Every time an angel appeared to a man, the man freaked out. The man get frightened. But every time an angel appeared to a woman, the woman said, what do you want? It's true. So I think women are more set up to have angelic visitation than men. Right? When men see angel, they get frightened all the time. You read from Old Testament, New Testament, but when women see angel, what you want? Right? And so Mary say, look at me, I'm virgin. You're telling me I'm gonna be pregnant and I get pregnant without a man? It's impossible, isn't it? But here, when Mary received that word, for with God all things are possible, or with God nothing will be impossible. She responds with a quiet prayer. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Here I surrender to God. Let it be unto me according to your word. That's why it's important to have a life verse, a year verse, to read the Bible. Because every time you read, you say, let it be unto me according to the revelation I've received right now. Let it be me. Let it be me. God is saying to me, and I want to say to you guys, is that they are going to, this house is going to be a house of wisdom. Remember I talk about Solomon? Our people will be known for the answers we give to people who have questions. People will come from different nations to receive answers from us. Whether in this church or in your workplace, God is positioning you. Because you're part of First Light, God is positioning us as a church in this city to be a center of wisdom. Anyone say amen? Amen. Because God is setting up the Josephs, the Daniels, the Esther for such a time as this. That's why I echo what Auntie Dot says about the Esthers. Because this is the same thing God has spoken to me, that many of us are going to be Joseph in this city. You are going to be given great responsibility. And you say, how can it be? But then you must say, oh, for with God, nothing will be impossible. But let it be unto me according to his word. Some of you are going to be Daniels. You're going to be interpreters of dreams and vision. You're going to talk to your boss. You're going to talk to your superior. You're going to talk to people, your teammate. And somehow they have dreams and vision of making business or making money, whatever it is. You are able to interpret and see it come to pass. And this is going to happen. And none of us are so young or so old, we don't need more wisdom, isn't it? We need as much wisdom as we have because this is what First Light is going to be in our next journey. That this is a place of great wisdom. People come. Whoever they speak to, there's always revelation. Okay? First light, we have no village idiot, but we, every one of us, are very wise. Amen? Now look at your neighbor and say, yep, that's a wise person. Yeah, that's very wise. Because we are called by God to give revelation. The truth is, thank God he has given us an identity in Jesus' name. You know, a few days ago, I came across some drag queen in the city. For those of you who don't know what a drag queen is, you need to get out more often. You know, it's male performers who become so-called female impersonators. So they will doll themselves up, exaggerate feminine action, gesture. But you know, it's just a performance. You know they're real guys, but actually they try to be an exaggerated version of a woman. And one interesting thing is this, is that it tells me something. I was just coming back to reflect and say, you know, these people create a false identity about themselves. To perform, to bring laughter or whatever it is. But if there's a false identity, there is also a false reality. Not everyone out there is a drag queen, but everyone out there could actually live under a false identity because they do not know they are sons and daughters of God. Who knows? You know. You are not living in a false identity. You are living in the real identity, and that's why you are in the reality of the gospel of grace. Hallelujah. But out there, there are people who do not know. They're living under a false identity, and so they will dwell in a false reality. But thanks be to God, we can go and make a difference and shine for Jesus Christ. I like what Gabriel said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. In fact, this line doesn't make justice. If you really read it in Greek, it actually says this. This is from Amplified Bible. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. As the word goes forth, that's what Isaiah says, it will not return back to him empty, but it will go forth to accomplish for the purpose for which I sent. Every rhema word that you ever receive, every prophetic word that you receive that has turned your heart and you say, Lord, I believe. Then God is saying to you, for with him, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from him to you shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So are you encouraged? You should be encouraged. Between the planting of the seed to the harvest of the 30, 60, and 90, there is a laying of that foundation called character. If you want to have a huge harvest, you need to have a good bag to carry your harvest. If you need to see fruitfulness in your days to come, then it must begin with the sense, Lord, give me a character that fit my call. But what is great was this. After Mary says, let it be to me according to your word, you know, it changes her prayer life. She no longer sees herself as an inadequate person. Because next few lines, where she was in Elizabeth's house, you know, Mary began to sing. And we, is this call, you know, you come from traditional church, we call it Mary's Magnificat. Right? He magnified a lot. Right? He magnified a lot. She sings a little, she prays a little, she also rap a little. Right? She says this here. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. No more did Mary say, I cannot. Because now she saw how God saw her. Oh, she sees how God saw her, in a sense. And that changes her prayer language. Don't you want to change your prayer language? Don't you want to go more than just your safe kind of prayer? You want to go to be risky kind of prayer. You want to pray bold prayers that you know it cannot be done except God must come in. But you have the promise of God that God's word is without any, God's word shall be have no power, but God's word have all the power that is going to accomplish what he promised you and he will fulfill it. So Mary began to sing. He could even rejoice and saw her identity that I'm not just a humble servant of God, but Lord, you go beyond who I am. That generation will say, I'm blessed. Because God, you have done great things for me. In fact, you read the whole Magnificat. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is set in music anyway. You get all kinds of tradition from slow to fast tradition. You can listen to it in music. But what I'm saying to you guys is, if you want to increase your capacity to receive first, sit on the word, rest on the word, let the word build out the foundation that you need. But then what happened is this, that then as you intercede, you are saying to God what he has already said to you through his word, through his spirit, then something will just come forth. Hallelujah. Don't be impatient. Let God what needs to do. Let God do what he needs to do to you. The more I study the word of God, I realize one thing. God is not looking for perfect people. Amen? But God is looking for patient people. God is looking for patient people, not perfect people. People who are patient and let God do what he needs to do in them so they are ready to do what God wants them to do. Amen? Sometimes we pray wrongly. God, I'm not perfect. God said, I'm not asking you to be perfect. God is asking you, can you be patient with me? Let me do what I need to do to get everything in place. Hallelujah. So like Mary, you can say that God, you have done mighty works, mighty things for me. And this in closing is this. Paul told the church how to... I love Paul. He intercedes for the church. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Church, I pray this prayer for you guys every week. Every week. Every week. I give thanks for you. But I never stop giving thanks. I never stop asking that the Father will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. God doesn't want you to do his stuff without you knowing him. If you just do things for God, you are just a worker. Then you expect a pay. But if you know God before you do his work, you are a worshiper. And when you are a worshiper, you're doing something out of the overflow. You know, the Lord just reminded me, you know why you guys had to pray? Or why Paul wanted to pray for the church to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Because God, only God can reveal God. Only God can give us the Holy Spirit for us to know him, isn't it? How do we know the Father's heart? Only through the Holy Spirit, through the word. But much more than that, the Father was saying to me, you know, revelation is always about your identity. Wisdom is about how you live your identity. God wants to take us more about just having a head knowledge of our identity. That's revelation. We need revelation. But God is saying that he wants to give us wisdom. You know, sometimes you know what's our life's issue? We put more emphasis on what we need to do than who we are. We put more emphasis on what we do than who we are. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better boss. I want to be a better worker. It's always about our roles. You realize a lot of our life issue is about how can I be effective with my roles, with my position. But God says it all begins about you knowing who you are. You cannot be a great father or mother if you do not learn how to be a great child of God. You do not know how to behave like a son and a daughter before the father, you will find it hard to train your sons and daughter to know the love of God. You cannot be a good leader if you're not a great follower of Jesus Christ. There's no shortcut about it, people. God is saying to us in this house, stop being obsessed about your roles to be a better parent or to be a better leader or better something up there in the world. Just to know Him better is the greatest thing you're going to have in your life. And when you know Him as a son, as a daughter, when you know and follow His heartbeat, when your cry is always, Lord, where you go, I shall go with you. Lord, you have said this in your word, and I'm holding you to your word that you will come to pass. Then something has broken through. That is the point in which we are like Peter, Jesus, seal it, and I will step out of the boat into the water. So this morning, I want to encourage those of you, as I said this morning, if you have received a prophetic word, you have not seen the fruit at all, can you please stand up right now? I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you. Just raise up, wave out your hands. Stretch your hands towards all these brothers and sisters. They all have received a word. And that word has radically impacted them. But they're yet to see the fruit of it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers, my sisters, that your love for them exceeds what they understand. That you are able to do above all else, exceedingly abundantly more than they can ask or think. That that word in which you release to them through a prophetic utterance, through the reading of your word, that Lord, the seed has been planted, but it will come forth and multiply 30, 60, 100-fold. That let them not be discouraged, but today this word is for them. Friends, just receive that word right now. Let the word refresh you again. Go back to that word and Lord, from this day on, you tell the Lord, intercede and tell the Lord what He has said to you. It will come to pass. Joseph waited 13 years. Paul waited about 13 years before he got to preach the gospel again. Sometimes we say it's so long. But with God, if God just moves 1 second, it's worth you doing it for the next 30 years of your life. Lord, from this day on, they will not be discouraged, but they will be strengthened by your word, by your truth, that this is a year of great breakthroughs for them. Because God is going to position all of you guys one way and another, that you're going to make a difference. Which we remember, the word you receive is never about your own personal relationship with God, but the word you receive will be extending to those around your community. Because every one of you that stand today, you are building a legacy that will stand in the days to come. You are going to enjoy, you're going to see it, but much more. You are laying a legacy for your children, for your children's children. Unless Jesus comes sooner. Your faithfulness, God has seen your faithfulness, but much more. Because you have been faithful, God is going to be faithful to your whole entire household. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's all right, people. Those of you who say, oh, Pastor, I have no prophetic word. Well, start reading the Bible. Start going to your life verse. But I hope by this year end, if it is not me, but one of my elders will give you a prophetic word. Can we do that? Don't come to me only. Go to any of the elders, they were going to give a prophetic word. Right? If the elders are not available to you, go to your life group leaders. I believe this is going to be a prophetic household. Right? But don't leave this year without someone praying over you and deposit something of God's word into your life. But this is a church Say to your neighbor, this is a church of Josephs, of Daniels, of Esthers, of Mary. God is calling us to do great things. Tell your neighbor one more time. It's time to step out of the boat. It's time, one more time, to step out of the boat. One more time, it's time to step out of the boat. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah.